basketball, and I love that basketball. I took that basketball with me everywhere I went. That basketball was like a basketball to me. I even put that basketball underneath my pillow. Maybe that's why I can't sleep at night. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need someone to stand beside me. I need someone to set a pick for me at the free throw line of life. Someone I can pass to. Someone to hit the open man on to give him goal. And not end up in the popcorn machine. So cheerleaders, help me out.
Everybody watching Coast to Coast, sing along with me. Bill Russell, sing along with me. Sing along with us. Don't say nothing. Tennessee wins tonight, 81-62. 5-4 on the year. Gonzaga's next. Gonzaga is up next, and that will be a hoot and holler and handful. Got more moves than X-Lax. In a game where a road-weary Florida Atlantic cut the lead to 5 with 10 minutes left in the game and made Tennessee sweat a little bit in their building, the Volunteers victorious. 81-62, Tony Basilio reporting from the bowels of the Raymere studio this evening. As Tennessee victorious tonight, 81-62. Let's go through the scoring, and then I want to hear from you at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Your highs, your lows, your thoughts tonight on Tennessee winning 81-62 over Florida Atlantic. When you crunch the numbers in this one, the numbers are rather stark. When you consider that Florida Atlantic, a team that, as I said, it was a 5-point game with 10 minutes left. And that's too close for comfort. Too close for comfort in my world. Florida Atlantic, a team, and Steve Hammer working the game with Mike Keith tonight, just... Those two guys did an excellent job on the broadcast tonight, pointing out that Florida Atlantic played back-to-back nights. They played in Eastern Kentucky last night, and then they played Tennessee. It is 978 miles, I checked it, from Florida Atlantic's campus to Richmond, Kentucky. And then it's 147 miles from Richmond, Kentucky to here, which means the Florida Atlantic is on that bus 13-plus hours. In the last couple of days. Now, and then they played two basketball games. So after the 30-minute mark, it really caught up to them. They were exhausted. I mean, you talk about a team that was gassed. You could see it. From Tennessee tonight, I think it's interesting that obviously KP continues to do what he does. And somebody mentioned on the last Smart Ray Dalton Baring Garza Law Firm basketball overtime, if in fact Kevin Punter was going to average over 20 on the year. It's so odd these days to see that. And the answer is, why not? Why not? Tennessee tonight in this game, led by Kevin Punter, he had 24 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point land, 9 of 10 from the line, had 5 boards, 5 assists. Armani, the designer, Moore. 16 points, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point land, 7 of 13 from the line, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. I should point out tonight that Tennessee did have problems finishing, which going to get you beat when you play quality opponents. You got to score. And my count, they missed at least 8 what I would call layups tonight. Shots that generally you're going to make, but they didn't. Balkman-Turner overdrive tonight with 11 in the game. 5 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3-point land, and had a board. Reese had 6 in the game, Alexander 6. How about this? Dietrich Mostella comes off the witness protection program, goes 1 of 4 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3-point land, but was active tonight and attempted 5 foul shots in the game to go with 4 rebounds and an assist. Dietrich Mostella for Tennessee played tonight in the game 13 minutes, which is a rather lengthy time for him indeed. If you were at the game this evening, I'd like to hear from you. What was the crowd size? It looked like, and D. Craig Jenkins sent me a picture about 3 minutes before tip-off, and he said there was probably about, a couple thousand people there. So was it a late-arriving crowd or was it a no-arriving crowd? And I realize that their students are gone on the campus, so it is what it is at this point in time. I don't want to make more out of it than it is. Plus, it's Florida Atlantic. Plus, it's Wednesday night. Plus, the Vols are struggling to play 500 basketball. There are a lot of factors in play. A lot of factors in play here. At any rate, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. As we talk about it tonight with you on the program. As I was saying, Kasongo tonight, 5, Alexander 6, Mostella 6. Great to see Campbell get in the game, Lucas Campbell. Shambari Phillips had 2 on the night. And Admiral Schofield comes back after his breakout performance over the weekend at Butler and plays 18 minutes tonight. And while he's on the court, though, Tennessee has a plus-minus of plus 26. He ties for tops on the team with KP Kevin Punter. So certainly not hurting the Vols is Admiral Schofield. Looks to be a find. So a lot to digest tonight. Tennessee wins 81-62 over, as I said, a gassed Florida Atlantic team. That's hard to believe that they were asked to do what they were asked to do, playing back-to-back games in a non-tournament setting. I don't remember the last time I remember that. I'm sure it happens in the lower mid-major ranks where they happen to reside. But that's still very difficult and a lot to ask on their kids. And you could tell tonight, because for 30 minutes they were really in the game. For the last 10, they were dead. And not that I'm making up excuses for them. And Tennessee did take the game from them, but boy, let me bring Keith Hatfield in. My bottom line from tonight's game is, whew, and part two is, when you get an opportunity to make point-blank shots, this team is not, they are not good enough. And I repeat, not good enough on the defensive end to make up for 6, 7, 8, 9 blown layups. It's just not going to work. As I bring, or point blank shots, they've got to put those easy shots in. Keith Hatfield, I bring you in. Tennessee 5-4 on the year. Your thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones.
Well, Tony, I thought tonight Tennessee did what, you're not going to throw back any, you're not going to throw back any wins with this team, so. I thought tonight was a decent enough performance. I mean, they were fairly sloppy with the ball a few times,
yeah.
But I didn't think that was I mean, it wasn't the number of turnovers. It was kind of more the type of turnovers where you're just making lazy cross-court passes and guys are stepping in front of them. But, I mean, the most encouraging thing to me was we saw far more from Kyle Alexander and Ray Kasongo tonight than we'd seen previously.
Yeah, and both Mike Keith and Steve Hamer were making that point tonight on the TV telecast that both of those guys are going to have to really step it up in a hurry for this Tennessee team if they're to make some noise in the league schedule. Keith, what else jumped out to you about tonight's game? And let me ask about the crowd. I know that we, generally speaking, we have low turnouts at this time of the year. That's a given. But generally, last couple of years, a low turnout is going to be 7,000, 6,000, 8,000, that kind of thing. What was the crowd tonight, Keith?
I wouldn't think it was more than 6,000, 7,000. I mean, I'm one of the world's worst at gauging such things, but it was not a huge crowd.
Yeah, Wednesday night, one of those things. Okay, so if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Anything else, Keith, before we go to the phones?
Well, just Kevin Punter and Armani Moore, pretty much. When they kind of cut it back down, I think it got as close as 5 at one point in the second half, they just started going to the basket, and Florida Atlantic had no answer keeping them away from, to keep them from getting to the rim. And I do still find it amazing that a guy that was the head of the NBA Players Association and an NBA head coach wakes up one morning and he's the coach at Florida Atlantic.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a pretty good fall. That's what that is.
We were talking today at Copper Cellar on Cumberland Avenue, where I did my daily show. We were talking about this Florida Atlantic team and what has been asked of them in the last 36 hours. Keith, that can't be very common to play back-to-back nights.
No, especially on the road like that. No, you'll occasionally see that here and there with one of the SWAC or MEAC schools trying to stuff in some games to make a little money, but I'm not really sure why a team in Boca Raton that's pretty flush with an athletic department that's pretty flush with cash from a new football stadium felt the need to do that.
And those kids were obviously gassed. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Stanford on top of the Lady Vols, 6-2 early. Stanford with the ball. We'll watch that together as we get as many folks in tonight as we possibly can on your smart way. Dalton Behring Hydraulic, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, man, yeah. How's it going, Tony?
Hey, Jacardio, what's up, buddy?
Hey, you know what was really cool?
You had me fooled there for a second, by the way. Congratulations.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Keith?
Doing fine.
Hey, you know what was really cool? What was that? That thing was on, what, ESPN3, where you can only watch it on the Internet?
I assumed it was on the SEC Alternative Channel, but that never works on DirecTV, so I have no idea.
Yeah, it didn't work on DirecTV. That's my point. We were watching them get it done, no question. I thought Mike Keith and Steve Hamer did a nice job. Did you watch it on your phone tonight, Jeeker?
No, I've got one of them dumb phones, about as dumb as I am. You know what I thought was really cool? Was I was listening to it on WNML, and then midway through the second half, they switches to the Lady Vols. That was classic.
Well, I mean, Mickey Dearstone.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Mickey Dearstone's level of hubris with the involvement of what he's involved in is pretty all time. But I'll say this. I would think most people tonight, as Lady Vols are now down 10-2 and there's a timeout on the court, they are getting run early. I would say that most people tonight would have more interest than the Lady Vols in that Florida Atlantic game by the size of that crowd, and just watchability, I would think.
Yeah, I think we're all wanting to see how bad the Lady Vols can, how low they can go.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that that's going to be, an interesting story as the year goes on. Can they get it together, or are they going to, sink into uncharted territory? I mean, that's really strange to see them. I mean, literally, it's not the first TV timeout. They took timeout, and they're down 10-2. I mean, they are getting run like we used to get run back. What was the game, Keith, or under Wade Houston? I think we went one year to
Syracuse.
Well, you knew it.
Hit the rim for the first 5 minutes of
yes,
the game.
Yes, when Moten, that's what that first 4 minutes just looked like there. When that Moten guy, who had, yep. He had his socks pulled up somewhere around the back of his neck. And he had them up over his rear end. I've never seen socks that long. And they were pressing us and this blitzkrieged us.
LaMarcus Golden threw a ball off the shot clock.
Yes, there were tons of great memories.
Hey, guys, I'll tell you what. I was glad to hear you guys make a couple of comments. And like I said, I didn't even get to listen to Bumbling Bob or see any of it on the internet or anything. But one thing I looked from seeing – a few things I looked from seeing it, looking at the box score. Looked like Derrick Reeves stayed within himself tonight. He went 3 of 5 from the field with 8 rebounds. I think that's a plus. And the two young big guys that you were talking about, Kasongo and Alexander, you know, they didn't do anything outstanding offensively, but they both had 6 and 5 rebounds apiece. And, 2 of 3 from the field, both of them. You know, I think that shows a little bit of growth in them, don't you think, Keith?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, that's certainly, I think that's that's the most we've seen of either one of them. Now, Reese did have a pretty decent night, but now he took one shot that absolutely set Barnes off. He caught a pass at the foul line and took a fadeaway turnaround 17 footer, and that didn't sell very well.
Well. You got to give him one mulligan. You get one mulligan every 9 holes, don't you?
Well, he certainly used his up there, because had he gone back in the game and done that again, his night would have been over, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, guys, I would like to see Bachman get some more shots. He only took 10 shots tonight. I think he needs to get a few more shots. What do you think, Keith?
Well, I think he's a streak guy. I mean, I think he's one of those guys. You get him out there and you try to get him a couple of shots early. If they don't go down, you just... Okay, well, he's not going to be a help tonight. But if they do go down, yeah, I think you then go to him. And I think, I mean, a guy that I've beaten on all year that I'm going to give a little bit of credit to is Dietrich Mostella.
Yep.
I mean, I've hammered him consistently. If you're going to hammer a guy, you got to say what he does well too. And I thought he played as well as he has all year tonight.
Hey, Keith, that was the last guy I wanted to talk about was Mostella. I'm looking at his, you know, he's only 1 of 4 from the field, but he was 4 of 5 at the line. What impressed me is he had 4 rebounds.
So he was aggressive. Yeah,
that shows he's a hustler.
But no, he didn't look. That's as good as he's looked all year too. I mean, a lot of guys. I mean, you saw a lot of guys tonight that haven't played particularly well or haven't really shown much have pretty decent nights, and that's encouraging going forward because I mean, this team's going to need all the bodies it can get. I mean, You're going to have to play a bunch of guys because A, the pace they're playing, and B, just because that team is not very big, and once they start playing like Saturday night, I mean, they're going to be in foul trouble all night. So you're going to have to play a bunch of guys. I mean, that's going to be kind of the fact of life at this day.
And we will be on the air as soon as the game is over on Saturday night.
Hey guys, one last question. Is there any chance we get the Turner kid, the point guard, eligible this season?
I believe Tennessee's going to get a break from the NCAA when I see it. That's how I look at that.
Lady Vol scratching back, now down 10-6 with the basketball. So they're trying to play their way back into that game. Tennessee on
that
the
game map. Actually on television?
Tennessee, ESPNU. Tennessee.
Wow.
Tennessee on the men's side wins 81-62. As if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We're wide open for you tonight as a Tennessee basketball fever, you will catch it on this glorious evening as Tennessee wins tonight 81-62. And we await your phone calls here tonight as we talk about it live with you on your Smartway Dalton Behring hydraulic Garza Law Firm Tennessee basketball overtime. As advertised, Keith, tonight's game, not the greatest challenge in the world, but you said it earlier. With this bunch, a win's a win's a win's a win's a win. And I don't want to say wins at times are going to be hard to come by, but with the front line Tennessee sporting, wins at times could be hard to come by with this group.
Oh, no doubt. I think you've got to be in a position where this team's going to win this year. They need to be thinking about throwing back. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Any night they end up with more points on the scoreboard than the opponents, they need to be thrilled this year.
And you know, the deal is that this team right here, tonight's game, if you have an opponent that has better legs, could have had a different outcome.
Well, certainly. I mean, when they make the push to cut it from 14 down to 5, they're right in the game.
I was a little worried at that point. Were you?
Yes.
And I don't know if you're Rick Barnes, what you could have done done other than get the ball, as he did, in punter and Moore's hands and say carry us, and particularly punter.
Well, I think that's exactly what happened. I think he just went to those guys. He just started running isolations and stuff for those guys and taking the position that, okay, I'm going to get beat. I'm going to get beat with these guys. So.
Let's go back to our phones. Was there anything tonight that concerned you that you saw maybe a answer by Tennessee against a certain defensive look? Anything like that that concerned you tonight that the Tennessee did in the game?
Well, I mean, the thing that concerned me most, like I said earlier, was just getting so loose with the ball, and especially Shambari Phillips a couple of times. I mean, he made back-to-back. I mean, this team's not, we're talking about they're not good enough to mislay it, to leave points on the board when they miss layups. I agree with that, but they're also not good. They're also certainly not good enough to give people run-out layups off turnovers, and they gave away a bunch of points. I mean, if it weren't for that, Tennessee's probably in much better shape throughout the entire game.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 as we go back to our phones. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome as we talk Tennessee hoops tonight. Welcome in.
Hey, Tones. Jeff and Blaine. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff and Blaine. Get on in here, man.
Hey, what's the deal with the Woodard kid getting in there? Looks like he put a couple of solid minutes together.
Thoughts, Keith?
I'm going to assume that was a message to Dietrich Mostella and Shambari Phillips.
Yeah, what's strange is that was the most excitement of the second half, in my opinion, because I was rooting for the guy to chunk one up. He never did, but do you know anything about that kid, or is that going to be an aberration?
I can't imagine, like I said, I think that was a message to mainly Shambari Phillips and to a lesser extent Dietrich Mostella. I don't think that's a guy that they're thinking that's going to be somebody that's going to play a bunch of minutes.
Well, do you think Mostella, I mean, here's a guy who I really look forward to when mm-hmm. he signed for the Vols. I mean, can jump out of the gym literally. Do you think his size is what's holding him back? I mean, he can shoot the ball. He's quick. He can, like I said, he's got the athleticism, but he's like he's missing something. There's a cog missing there. And I think it might be his size. He just kind of gets pushed around a little bit on the defensive end and can't push anyone around on the offensive end.
Well, he's certainly got to get stronger. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. But, I mean, the problem there is, with guys that thin, you wonder how much weight you can put on them without beginning to have a significant negative effect on their athleticism. So I think that's kind of the happy balance Tennessee has to find with him.
Yeah. Well, out the door, the kid that I think is going to do big things for us is Admiral Schofield there. I could do without some of the emotion, although that makes the kid special. I understand that. But sometimes you're just scoring 2 points against Florida A&M or whatever they were. But his game at Butler, I never got in on the post game at Butler, but man, that game was, he played well again tonight. So I'm hoping he does big things for the Vols, and that's good to see that kind of production out of a freshman. He doesn't look like a freshman, that's for sure.
No, he absolutely doesn't. Thank you for your call, and Blaine, I hope you have yourself a great day. Appreciate you checking in with us this evening. That's a real find. We were talking on our basketball television show, Keith, which airs on Tuesday nights at 6:30, with Donnie Tindall, who recruited him here. And Schofield is quite a find. And, you know, I've been a critical of Rick Barnes so far in recruiting, but, you know, a guy like Schofield kind of proves to you, and to some extent, even a Kenneth Faried, and to another extent, going the other way, a Robert Hubbs, that it isn't all about stars. A lot of times it's about identifying guys and finding guys that can play and plugging them in.
Well, guys that have good instincts. I mean, Schofield has fantastic instincts.
Yep. He's, what I see from him, what I like about him is he's not afraid. You're watching that game the other night going, who is this guy? Where does this come from?
Yeah, I mean, he's not... Now, granted, he's got the body to do that. I mean, it's a little harder for a Kyle Alexander
right. To
do it, given his... Even though, like I said tonight, I mean, he looked like... You saw... I think you certainly saw tonight what his upside could be. I mean, that's the first time this year the rim's really been defended. I mean, he challenged a bunch of shots, and I thought he probably... In the minutes he was out there, I thought he and Kasongo held their own against C.J. Turman, who's certainly not going to be an All-American or anything, but Turman's a serviceable college big guy, and they held their own with him, and that's progress from what we've seen so far out of those guys.
Your buddy from Florida Atlantic, their head coach, said that they did that to prepare for their conference tournament.
Why would you do... Okay.
In the middle of December!
And last time I
in the
last
middle
time
of December, we're going to get prepared for our college tournament, our conference tournament.
Last time I checked, you didn't play conference tournaments on sites that were a two-hour drive from each other either.
Colin Linville said that they played 4 games in 6 days. Might be a little excessive, he says.
I look at what their final schedule is.
Wow.
I mean, if their schedule is like Tennessee's, so you just finish up finals and you run and play 4 games in 6 days? Yeah, that's not asking too much of your kids.
Wow.
Well, that's what happens. Well, you got to remember, he's an NBA guy, so 4 games in 6 days probably in his mind doesn't mean much.
You can't do that in college basketball. Go and kill those kids.
Well, no, and it's just it's unfair. Like I said, I mean, and if you're going to do that, take 2 high major games. Play Vanderbilt last night in Nashville or something. Why on God's earth are you going from Boca Raton to Richmond, Kentucky?
And that's incredible. That's an 1,100-mile drive. I looked it up. On that bus that they're riding in, that cannot be fun. 1,100 miles. It's like being in the old East Coast Hockey League back in the day. That cannot be fun. Absolutely not be fun. How about this? Kevin Punter, this is from Patrick Brown in Chatty. Kevin Punter's 6-game streak of scoring at least 20 points is the longest by a Tennessee player since Chris Lofton in 2006.
You know, as great as Lofton was, I would have thought it was probably that would probably date all the way back to Allen Houston. I mean, 6 straight 20s in college is pretty strong.
Rick Barnes quoted as saying tonight, the SEC's non-conference performance and non-conference play, I think it's a concern. Where are you, Keith, on so far what we've seen from the league? And I think South Carolina is off to one of their best starts ever and has a chance against Clemson, a game against Clemson on Friday night to, I believe, match their best start of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've been really good. I think they've been really good out of the gate, but the rest of the league, I mean, they haven't distinguished themselves. I mean, Tennessee, for example, I mean, to Tennessee's credit, they haven't thrown up any awful losses, but they've not really beaten anybody of substance either. But you look at some of the struggles. I mean, Auburn losing to an MTSU. Mississippi State loses to Southern. Georgia's tossed out a couple of duds. I just think you're in a situation where outside of Kentucky and Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, I don't know that anybody can be sure who is any good in this league. I mean, I think South Carolina probably is because, I mean, Frank's been there long enough now. He's got his guys in place. They've finally got some experience and can shoot it a little bit. So I think they're probably, at worst, a borderline NCAA tournament team. But I don't think you can look at the league right now and say there's this grand bunch of teams that might make the NCAA tournament because there are a whole bunch of teams with serious problems.
How many are coming out of this league right now, Keith, based on the start and what we saw?
If the tournament started tomorrow, probably four.
Wow. I keep saying the league can't get worse. You know how we keep saying that? And it's almost like it's getting worse. And I'm not sure how that works.
Well, I think this year is a transition year. I mean, you've got Talon's first year, it's Barnes's first year, it's Pearl's second year. I think that's part of it.
Rick Barnes said that Hubs went through his walkthrough today for the first time. He said, right now, I don't think he's going to play Saturday.
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, I never like to be the wet blanket, but I wouldn't rush him back to play him Saturday because it's not going to make a lick of difference.
Rick Barnes said Mark Few was the first coach he called to get the schedule up to par. Few told him Gonzaga needed a Battle of Seattle opponent. He said, we scrimmaged Gonzaga every year the last few seasons. We would meet in Denver, Boulder, Phoenix, etc. And I just tweeted out, you think we could borrow a few of Texas' players for this one?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to borrow Cameron Ridley and a couple of their big guys right now.
Marron. We're going to go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Tennessee leaves tomorrow to head to Seattle, and they will get themselves squared away. And who knows, Keith? Keith, I want you to think about this during our call here. Mm-hmm. A Tennessee win on the road at Spokane/Seattle Saturday night would be the biggest upset for Tennessee basketball since blank. To our phones we go. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic /Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. It's Smitty.
Hey, Smitty.
I think you got to go back to the 05 Florida game here at home when they were number two. I think that would be a pretty big. That's probably the last huge upset that we've had.
Okay.
In my opinion. That's probably still not good enough, though, because we were pretty good that year. So.
Yeah, we had a pretty good team, and here you're talking about this ragtag group going on the road against a powerful, big, powerful, loaded opponent. Now, the thing that the Zags don't have, I watched them a little bit. I watched a replay of one of their games, and I've recorded it, and I've got two more recorded on the DVR. I'm going to break them down here in a little bit, but Keith, their backcourt to me looks kind of suspect.
Well, it's not very experienced. I mean, they lost pretty much all those guys from last year with Pangos and Bell and those guys, and they're kind of starting over back there. So I think that'll take them a while to get that going. But you're asking me the biggest upset? Tennessee winning Saturday would be on par with that awful 5 or 6 win Wade Houston team beating Shaquille O'Neal and LSU to me. Because something farcical will have to happen for Tennessee to win Saturday.
Now, again, that's a home game. Road game, I'll give you one. How about the, and Smitty, you might be a little young for this, but this is going back about 20 years. Lang Wiseman.
Shooting Arkansas out of the building. That's a good point.
Lang Wiseman, let me describe him to you, Smitty. Have you ever seen him?
Okay. No.
Okay.
No.
He's a guy that had a mustache that would have made Hitler blush, okay? And he had one, like kind of one of those bar mustaches, and he was a really pasty white dude. Pretty good player. I mean, not a great player, but this for this one night down in Arkansas, before they used to have Barnhill Arena down there, which was a great barn they played in, and packed to the rafters. They were, I guess that year, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, did they not win the national championship that year? I think they did.
I think it was the next year they won it.
Anyway, they were very good.
It was that group. It was that group.
They
it was the group them.
Yeah, okay. They were low. I'm talking about low dead. We get down there, just, you know, we think we're getting killed. Lang Wiseman cannot miss. He looks like the guy on PlayStation 4 or whatever game system you play, where you've amped this dude up so much from the outside, everything he threw up went in. Everything he threw up went in. And Tennessee ended up winning the game against them with Wade Houston coaching, which is, you talk about a great miracle. That's what we're going to have to see Saturday night. Somebody has got to have a freakishly great, or as Keith said, farcical kind of offensive performance Saturday night.
When Allen Houston made that four-point play to end the Kentucky game against Patino, how good was that Kentucky team?
They were really good, but the only reason that Tennessee team wasn't really good was they had an imbecile for a head coach.
Yes, because they had some good talent. They really did.
Yeah. Anyway, have you guys seen a player that looks like that is lazy as that number 24 Hill tonight? I've never seen a guy that looks like he just doesn't give a rat's ass than that guy. Okay. I mean,
I wasn't too impressed with Florida Atlantic's effort.
Four games in six nights.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, and that's to be somewhat expected, but still, at least make the effort to run back down the floor a couple of times.
Yes, like, that's kind of my point, but, hey, so my next question is when does LSU draw the line with Johnny Jones?
I can't believe they're going to let this guy do this. Ben Simmons is...
He wants a lifetime player. And his college career is probably going to end up in the NIT at this rate.
And they're not going to make the NCAA tournament right now. They have a lot of work to do coming into the season. A lot of work to do. A lot.
Yeah, I watched that game against Houston, and that was... Boy, they were bad. I mean, that Houston team is not very good. And that place was full of LSU fans. I mean, full of them.
Full. They're excited.
And it was a home game.
They are totally on board. Now, they did get a win tonight. 78.
So they played Gardner Webb.
57 over 4-7 Gardner Webb, a game they struggled in at times.
What was the final score of that game?
Now, it was a 78-57. Keith Hornsby is on his way back. And some people say that's going to be the glue that brings their team together. I say let's wait and see.
I say there's never a chance that guy on the sideline or on the bench. So
this will be one of the big bungle jobs of all time if they're not able to get it together. The rest of their schedule, guys, is Oral Roberts on December 19. Keith, what about Oral Roberts? Can Oral Roberts get them?
Nah, that'd be tough. I mean, they've fallen off considerably. Scott Sutton probably kind of has outstayed his usefulness there. I mean, they were a borderline top 25 team earlier in his tenure there, but they've fallen off considerably. That would take a pretty bad effort by LSU.
American University one day before my birthday on the 22nd of December. Then they go versus Wake Forest. Down there at LSU, and then they open. See, here's the thing about them. They are sitting there right now after tonight, if you guys can believe this, at 4-4. So let's just give them the next three games and say they're 7-4. You ready? Then they open at Vanderbilt on January 2nd, a 9 o'clock start at Vandy. You know what's going to happen in that game Saturday, January 2nd?
They'll lose.
They're going to get the hell beat. They're getting the hell beat out of them. That's exactly right. They're going to get cremated. Then they come home Tuesday night, 3 days later, and they host the Kentucky Wildcats in their building. Who, by the way, aren't great. They're just not. But they're still pretty good. And
they'll play them close, Tony.
Yes, they will.
They'll play them close because...
Well, they had them beat last
because
year.
Because the players get out of the way. The players just kind of take over in that game because of emotion.
Yes.
That's why they played them close last year. They'll play them close in that game because... They're more concerned about, the crowd and the atmosphere than they are anything else.
But that's where they are right now, as they get ready to begin the season. And Ben Simmons, if you haven't seen him, if you're just casually into college basketball right now, you're just starting to get into it, whenever LSU's on, if you get a chance, pop it on and watch him, and your jaw will drop after about 5 minutes of watching him, and you will say to yourself, as most of college basketball is, how in the world are they 4-4 with that guy? And the losses are incredible. I'm talking about Charleston by 12. I'm talking about at Houston by 8 points. I mean, it is unbelievable. In fact, they beat North Florida 119-108. They let North Florida score 108 points. I mean, you talk about a team that does not play hard. That LSU team is challenged. That's a shame.
Boy, I'm watching
it really is.
Mississippi State, Florida State.
Yes.
Pretty sure a guy with Philip Cofer's body would really help this team about right now.
Well, you got all these people that genuflect to Konzo Martin to this day, he poisoned the well on that one, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
He poisoned the
well. Hey, that Terman guy tonight, he was supposed to play here, but he's not very good.
What'd you think of him, Smitty?
Like you said, they played a lot of games lately, but I mean, he's playing at Florida Atlantic, which says everything.
I'll take Terman over Derek Reese every day.
I agree. But, hey, real quick, this weekend, I mean, I think, I'm not saying we got a chance, but, Wiltshire's obviously, he's liable to put up, 40 points this weekend.
I think Karnowski's the problem for us because we won't be able to move him at all.
No.
The bonus isn't so physically overwhelming. He's just incredibly skilled and so is Wiltshire, but Karnowski, we won't be able to move him at all.
Smitty, what success do you in that game? What do you call success in that game with the Zags Saturday night?
I say if we keep it within 12 points, if it's a single digit loss, it's a win. As a matter of fact, I'd like to know what the line's going to be, and if it's under 15 and we cover, that's a win for me.
Professor Tanae Keith had it at,
I think it was 13.
13. 13 and a half.
That projection, I think, is very.
You're challenging that.
Optimistic
Keith.
For Tennessee.
Okay.
I could see the line being more about 15, 16. Possibly 17. I mean, that sounds bad, but they're too overwhelming for us. So, if they could keep it under 13, I think, or single digit loss, that's.
Wait, we're going to be on here at 1 a.m. I'm going to test and see if you're fan enough, because we will be on as soon as that game is over. Keith's going to come watch it with me, and we're going to drink moonshine. Thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, we'll see you.
See you, Smitty. 865-200-5402, because the early part of the Butch Jones football experience this year taught me how to drink heavily, and I'm afraid this basketball season is going to continue that. Keith really needs no help. Keith, by the way, you're presented tonight by, on that vein,
our friends at Clancy's Tavern and Whiskey House in downtown Knoxville next to the historic Tennessee Theater.
And when will folks find you if they want to come see you at Clancy's? What would be a good time to find you there?
Probably about 25 minutes, probably about 10 minutes after we finish this show.
Don't you have to work tomorrow?
Well, I'm just going to go in and grab a couple of hot dogs and watch the UNLV Arizona State game. I mean, I'm not going in there to party or anything. I'm loyal to my sponsors, Basilio. That's something you taught me, brother.
865-200-5402. I have such a good time with you. The Lady Vols right now are down 29-15, 3:35 to play in the first half. Keith, they're experimenting with a four-quarter game, four 10-minute quarters, and cutting out a lot of these TV timeouts. Would you like to see college basketball go to more of the NBA model in terms of the way to break a game up? Or do you like two 20-minute halves? Because I kind of like what the women's game has done. It makes more sense to me.
I could take it either way. I mean, I don't know that it would make that grand a difference in the game. I mean, if they put it this way, it's one of those experiments. If they want to try that in the men's game, it's not something that would bother me terribly.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight, this show can serve as an emergency Lady Vol hotline as well. If you want to call and share your thoughts on that, as it's a real struggle early on for the gals, maybe they can get back in it. 44 pass. Let's go back to our phones and let's get
another guy that just leads a charmed life. I mean, he's better off than Johnny Jones because he seems to win a lot of these close games. It took a 25-foot three at the buzzer for North Carolina State to beat High Point tonight.
Handsome
Jack. That Mark Godfrey is something else.
Well, he really is, isn't he? And he, you know, I like every once in a while watching 80s videos. There's a group called Glass Tiger from the 80s, Keith.
Glass Tiger.
I would encourage you to go on
Glass
and look
Tiger.
Up Glass Tiger online and the song Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone. And the lead singer looks like Mark Godfrey because he's got summer eyes. Let's go to the phones because he's looking at you and he's talking to himself in a Derek Dooley kind of way. Let's go back to our busy phones tonight. And, boy, they are ringing off the hook. The excitement level following Tennessee's 81-62 win over Florida Atlantic is palpable this evening. It is a real thing. Do not try this at home. As we get to our next call, hello and welcome.
Is it me?
It is you.
T-Bone,
what's
up,
man? Hey, welcome in.
Bigger Al.
Hey, buddy, great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. I was just thinking that if we could beat Gonzaga, it would be the biggest win we've had since we beat Texas. At Texas.
That's a good one. I wonder what the line was going into that game.
We were dogs.
Big time dogs. Big time dogs. I was thinking, I remember that day waking up going, yeah, I'm going to watch the first 10 minutes of that game and then go out and maybe do something. Knock out a little shopping or whatever. I think that game was that game like late November, early December? Is that when that game happened?
I think that's right. Well, one thing about it was the game was over in the after 10 minutes.
Oh, it was. I mean, that thing was over in the first TV timeout. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that, the way Tennessee rained down on them.
Juwan Smith bombing away.
What I wouldn't give for a Juwan Smith to show up right now, Big Al.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, man, just to have a shooter.
And Chris Lofton in your back pocket, not a bad thing.
What a special player, man. Well, I bet you Bruce Pearl wishes he could find something like that down at Auburn right now.
I'd take Andre Patterson right now.
I would absolutely take Andre Patterson right now. I would take Major Wingate right now for this team.
Major Wingate.
Be a star player on this team.
Number one. He was number one.
Unbelievable.
I remember watching them come up and play. I think it was still under the Buzz Peterson regime. It came up to Louisville, which is where I live. And they played Rick Pitino's Cardinals.
That's right.
Major Wingate looked like the best player on the floor for Tennessee, which was a scary thing. But Lofton was active. We had some pretty good things going at that point. We took the lead at maybe the 10 minute mark in the second half, I let out a huge scream, and I've never seen so much hatred looked at me by the Louisville fan base. It was a little scary, but we went on to lose handily.
Tennessee played them twice, pretty tough in back to back seasons. Yeah, should have won both games. Absolutely. So Big Ral's got a good memory there. What I wouldn't give for just
one brain cell left.
Well, there you go. One solid frontline player, just one big experienced body. That's the thing you don't have with this team. It's just a little bit of experience. And I'll tell you, McGee deciding to go on really doesn't help the cause either.
So you're saying CJ Turman, I couldn't watch the game tonight because my cable package didn't pick up whatever it was on. But CJ Turman, no good? Good? No good?
I mean, it's hard. For me, when a team plays four games in six nights, I can't make a determination on CJ Turman. I know he's had a pretty nice little run there for them. So as it comes to tonight, I'm going to give him, now I could be like being very naive here, okay? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Keith, am I being naive?
I think he's the kind of guy that he would be good enough, especially on this Tennessee roster, to play 15 or 20 minutes a night.
Yes.
He can at least physically hold his own. He's not going to get shoved around.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the point. I'll put it this way. We've seen much worse here in recent years. I'm not going to name any names. You could probably use your imagination. But I'm going to tell you something. He didn't look like a complete stiff to me. I'll just put it that way.
All right.
But I appreciate your call. Hey, it's great talking to you, man.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Some folks listening to us tonight on Twitter, JTB said, watching the Lady Vols as they die slowly with you, Tony, tonight. James says it was a Saturday afternoon game at Texas, and he says the Vols were probably getting about 12 in that game. And the advanced number that we got from Professor Tanay and his gambling guys out in Vegas, where he currently is 13.5 is what we featured last night. And if you're somebody that likes advanced numbers, because in basketball, you don't get them. I mean, those numbers come out generally the day of. Professor Tanay last week gave us projected lines, Keith, and they were 5 days ahead of time on the Saturday action as we were doing it last Tuesday night. And, man, he was uncanny how he was right on those lines.
He certainly was. I mean, he didn't miss. I don't think he missed any of them by more than a point.
Yep, that's impressive. 35-20. The Lady Vols are down 15 at halftime on the road at Stanford. Wow, that is.
I guess Dearson's going to say that people like me said we should make Nikki Caldwell the head coach or idiots again, huh?
The Vols win tonight 81-62, if you want to get in with us. Tennessee goes to 5-4 on the year. Tennessee working on a 500 thus far non-league schedule. And they've left some real opportunities on the table, Keith, so far in the early going. Before we go back to the phones.
True.
Could have had the Georgia Tech game. Could have had the George Washington game.
Yeah.
And Butler could have gone either way the other night.
Yeah, I mean, the one game they really played poorly in was Nebraska. But also, I mean, the one thing we said the whole offseason was they couldn't lose any non-conference home games. And they managed to hold up that end of the bargain so far.
No question. Maybe a steal one Saturday. Hey, crazier things have happened. We can't think of any, but I'm sure they've happened here.
I was about to say, not many. From my position, not many.
You're working on 40 years. I'm going back 25, and I can't think of many. But let's
like get, I said, especially on the road.
Well, the Barnhill Arena game, again. The Barnhill Arena game with Lang Wiseman, doing his thing that night.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Hey, Keith.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Great.
Doing well.
Great.
And good. You talked to y'all tonight. Keith's going to ask you about the game. They can come back and win.
Oh, yeah, Rod, sure. Oh, yeah. Did you watch it? Did you watch first
half?
I watched it, you know. I don't smell a comeback for them, Rog, looking at that first half.
Come on, Rog. I hope they can come back, you know.
Rog, they have, now I'll be honest with you, looking at that first half, they have a better chance of getting beat 20-plus than they do coming back and winning, in my opinion, watching that first half.
I hope not. I'm just speaking my piece when I'm on the mic.
Go ahead, buddy.
Keith, just want to ask you about the game. Keith, you say Zaga is a good team. How good are they, Keith?
I think probably there are two or three front lines in the country better than theirs, I don't know who they would be. I mean, all three of those guys are going to be NBA players. I mean, their guard play isn't great, but I just think it's just I don't think you can script a worse matchup for Tennessee.
Oh, wow. What's the record? What's the record, Keith?
I think they've lost one game.
Really?
I know they lost to Arizona.
Okay. Wow. Keith, what's the key to Tennessee to have a chance to win?
They'll have to shoot extremely, extremely well from outside. That's the main thing Tennessee could do to kind of negate the fact that they're so outsized in that game and everything. But would be the one thing I kind of look at and think would give them a chance, but it would take an absolutely incredible shooting effort to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the deal. Right. I mean, that's what you got to have. You know what you really need? If you think about Butler the other night, Raj, the Schofield game that he had the other night, you need somebody to step up.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And do something, Keith, that's out of the ordinary. We need an outlier.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to have somebody have an Dietrich Mostella come out and make five threes.
Or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take something like that.
And it's possible.
A guy gets hot.
But the chances are, Raj, kind of like back to this Lady Vol thing.
Probably gonna
get ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope you're wrong, man, in a good way.
I'm watching it tonight. It's on in my monitor. This is the first real long exposure I've had.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, they have been literally outclassed in that game from the first tap.
Yeah.
And they're really fortunate to only be down 15. I mean, quite frankly, they were down 8-2 before you even blinked tonight.
Huh.
But I wish that wasn't the case, Raj. But it is the case. Maybe the baseball team is going to have to carry the mantle in Dave Hart's athletic department. Maybe the baseball team will be our feel good to get us to football season.
Tony, are you going to be out anywhere tomorrow?
Yes, I'm going to be at Kubota of Knoxville on the Bill Clinton Highway.
Oh, really?
Yes, Raj, thank you. I love you.
Okay.
Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you, Smart Way, presenting tonight's action. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 as we talk about Tennessee and Florida Atlantic tonight. Tennessee.